Blessed be God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Amos. Alas for those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. Alas for those who lie on beds of ivory and lounge on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and, like David, improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in. A reading from the first letter of Paul to Timothy. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight for the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, it is he alone who has the immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal domination. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who is richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasures of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe the master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sunday, Kay and I were in Kingsport at St. Christopher's Church, where I had served during the 1970s. They were celebrating their 50th anniversary, and it invited us back. And we have fond memories of our time there. A number of folks from back then were back for the celebration, and we had a great time reconnecting with them. But how they've changed. They look so much older. Thinking of last Sunday, you remember the gospel which Pat just read for us. That ended with Jesus saying, "You cannot serve God and wealth." This gospel lesson for today is all about a rich man and a poor man named Lazarus. I'll read it for you. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his bones, his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades. where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, and he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This story was told in response to the Pharisees, who were lovers of money and heard this and ridiculed Jesus. The story is very familiar to all of us. These two men live on the same street. One was rich, the other was a poor, sick beggar named Lazarus. The rich man was not mean to the poor man. He didn't go out of his way to hurt the poor man. In fact, he was invisible to him. The rich man didn't even notice Lazarus. And that was the problem. Now, Lazarus, as far as we know, wasn't particularly good or virtuous. He wasn't trying to better himself or get ahead in life. He simply existed. He lived on the scraps of food that were thrown out in the garbage. He didn't even complain when the dogs came up and licked his open and festering sores. There was absolutely nothing admirable or attractive about him. Now, we would probably say something like, "Well, he's not even trying. He's not trying to do better. If you give him money, he just wastes it." And yet, Lazarus ends up in heaven and the rich man in hell. The ending of the story is really interesting. The rich man wants to warn his brothers who are still alive and tell them to change their ways. Father Abraham says, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And the rich man replies, "No, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they'll repent." And Father Abraham says, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Luke, in his gospel, plays one theme over and over again. From the incarnation and Mary's Magnificat, in which the rich are sent empty away, to this parable that Jesus tells, the theme is the same. The last will be first, and the first will be last. Stop and think about it. That is what we see throughout the Bible. God did not take a mighty nation for his chosen people. Instead, he chose this Semitic rabble, slaves in Egypt, the most despised and lowliest people of that world. God chooses Moses, a murderer, to become their leader. And the one man in whom God chose to fully reveal himself was not born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was from common stock. He was never rich, never considered successful. Instead, he was judged a criminal and executed at the age of 33. And when we look at the Christians of the first two centuries, we're going to find a similar story. They were the laughingstock of their society. Their religion was illegal. Those who followed the Christ were suspect. They were seen as traitors to the empire of Rome. They were not the powerful, they were not the rich, they were not the successful. They were not people that you'd like to associate with. And throughout salvation history, we discover that God is the champion of the poor, the champion of the prisoner, of the marginalized of society, champion of the powerless. God is the champion of those who are discriminated against, the unacceptable, the untouchables, the dregs of society. Now, you and I have a problem with this, or at least I think we should have, because we don't fit those categories. Jesus ate and drank with folks that you and I would prefer not to associate with. Jesus made it abundantly clear that his mission and ministry was to the poor, to the destitute, to the outcast. And that is why the gospel is so disconcerting to us. You and I are closer to the Pharisees than we would like to believe. I don't like this story of the rich man and Lazarus because it puts me, it puts us under judgment. Let's face it. Many of us who call ourselves Christians take an attitude toward the poor that is far from Christ's attitude. All too often, I'm content to ignore the poor. And I don't think I'm the only one. Many of us simply don't see the poor who live closer than we think. There's hardly a week that goes by that there isn't someone at our door here at the church seeking some kind of help. They come here to St. Thaddeus. They come to the community kitchen. They come to Metropolitan Ministries. The poor are all around us, but we may not see them. Many of us come to church asking, "What can God do for me? What can God do to make me feel better or to get along with others better? What can God do for me?" Instead of asking, "What can I do for others?" To what is God calling me? Where can I serve? Who do I serve? How do I minister? Sometimes it's as simple as placing a piece of bread on a plate. So the question before us constantly is, who is Lazarus for us? At the end of the world, the Son of Man will come in his glory and all the angels with him to close the curtain of history as we know it. Scripture says that the Lord Jesus will not ask on that final day how much we had in the bank, or what clubs we belonged to, or what church we attended, or what our IQ was, or where we were educated. He will ask us how much we loved the ones who needed what we had to give them. How much did we love them? Not because they deserved it, not because they earned it, not because they needed reforming, but because we needed them as much as they needed us to keep us all human, to be the ministers, the servants that God has called you and me to be. And he will tell us what we know now, that these Lazaruses were Jesus in disguise. The story of Lazarus and the rich man is a very hard one. It's an important one. It is our story. Father Abraham said, they won't listen even if someone returns from the dead. Well, we have someone risen from the dead. Will we listen to him? Amen.
Let us stand and together profess our faith in the reading of the Nicene Creed found on page 9 in our bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and his Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. for the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love and be found without fault at the day of your coming. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, for George, our own bishop, for all bishops and other ministers, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, especially Barack our president, Bill and Nathan our governors, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, for those who are present, and for those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those on our prayer list, we pray especially for Margaret, Jean, Steve, Nicole, J.R., Blair, Michelle, Joan, Kevin, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Russell, Jaden, Brian, Teddy, Richard, Wendell, Karan, Jeff, Regina, Irene, Larry, June, Michael, Joe, Margaret, Laura, Baylor, Dwayne, Shay, Margaret, Don, Ed, Doug, Cecilia, Ed, Pat, Eddie, Eric, Alberta, Joycey, Whitney, Terry and Bonnie, Tom, Zach, Allison. And for all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints, they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Are there any other intercessions? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially our Bishop George Young. Rejoicing in the fellowship of the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, blessed Thaddeus, and all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our Lord.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever.
Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
Word of you, and all you have done, and all you have done.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Did you see Tom Bibler die?
No.
Did you know Tom?
No, I don't.
He was in charge of the Teacher Preparation Academy at UTC.
Oh.
And then you came to
remember his name. I don't know if I know
him.
Good morning. Please be seated. Several announcements. First and foremost, I resisted the temptation to change the final hymn today from what is appointed to Rocky Top. But I looked in vain for orange vestments. Worship committee meets immediately after the service in the library, so we encourage all of the worship committee to meet there. 2 weeks from today, October the 9th, we will have the blessing of the pets out on the lawn at 4 o'clock. But next Sunday and that Sunday, I've got an assignment for you. I met with a group of clergy and Becky Wetchel, who directs Metropolitan Ministry, and she told me something I didn't realize. A lot of the clients who come to Metropolitan Ministry have pets. And of course, you cannot buy pet food with food stamps. And they have food for humans at Metropolitan Ministry, but they don't have anything for pets. So this is what we're going to do. Next Sunday and the 9th, we'll have a basket out there, and we want you to bring dog and cat food, okay? And then on that Pet Sunday, I don't know what we would technically call it, that'll be offered up. Then it'll be taken over to MetMen, and you can bring a bag of dog food this big if you want, and then they'll divide it up into quart packages. And so when those clients come, they'll get some pet food. Becky reminded me that a lot of these people, their dog or their cat, It's the only friend or family they've got. And so it's really important to them. So let's help them out. So next Sunday and the following Sunday, bring the pet food. And we will offer it up to God, give him thanks, and take it over to them, okay? Are there any other announcements? Walk in love is, yes. Thank you, Larry. That's an important activity. And you'll have to forgive me. Friday night, Kay and I went to see Hal Holbrook doing Mark Twain. One of my favorite quotes from Mark Twain is, a man being confident, said, that guy is as confident as a Christian holding four aces. Now that's confidence. Any other announcements? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power of the world, forever and ever. Amen.
the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, remember that life is short, and we have too little time to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. So be swift to love, and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thanks be to God.